You see, most gamblers, when they go to gamble, they go to win. When we go to gamble, we go to lose. Even when we win, it's just a matter of time before we give it all back.
This is the Bet Slippin' Podcast,
featuring Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire.
I bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
Join them on their journey as they grow from gambling writers to sports betting sharps.
I mean, it's the gambling business. Occasionally get punched in the face.
You're listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast. Now, Jeff Clark and Eston McLaren.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
We're talking turkey today here on the Bed Slipping Podcast. Well, Turkey Day football. Thanks for tuning in to the show. This is Sportsbook Wire podcaster and handicapper Jeff Clark. Of course, I got my gambling cohort and consigliere on the line, the great Eston McLaren. Eston, what's up, brother? How was your week 11?
Hey, Jeff, week 11. Not so hot around these parts, but week 12, three-game Thursday slate, that's just going to help us move along even quicker, and just can't be angry about that.
Yeah. How do you usually like or profit off of the Thanksgiving Day games?
Yeah, in general, I do fairly well on standalone primetime games, whichever you want to call it. And 12:30 on a Thursday, I guess, qualifies as primetime this week, but... yeah, I do decent on these, you know, see a lot of the same teams, and you can make money betting against the Lions is a simple rule of thumb.
Yeah, well, they're playing your Texans, and you were big on the Texans last week, right?
Yeah, that was my best bet of the week, and I said it on this episode that it was my strongest play of the week and probably strongest of the season, the Houston Texans against the New England Patriots, and... lo and behold, the Texans pulled one off, and, New England Patriots, thanks for not being very good.
That was actually a pretty good pick, considering you went against the market and the sharps. I heard a lot of people on various podcasts and sports betting radio shows talk about how they liked New England there. I know Houston's having a bad year. We'll talk about them later, obviously, but nice pick, man. I'm impressed.
Thank you. Thank you. How was your week 11? I know you did pretty well on Monday Night Football, at least.
Yeah, I had a great week 11. It was probably my best week of the season. It was my third straight 3-2 winning week in the Circa contest. I pulled up my record to still a pretty terrible 25-29-1. The only thing I'm really hoping for at this point is to get above 500, and I have the utmost confidence I'll do that, but... yeah, it was great, man. I hit on all primetime games. I hit on all the like player props that I played, team total stuff. It was great. Couple stinkers in there that we'll talk about as we're going through the Week 12 slate. But I really have no complaints, and I'm pretty pumped up about just ending the season the season wrapping up. I think I'm handicapping pretty strong, but hopefully I don't just jinx myself with all that.
Hey, that's okay. You had another winning week in our head-to-head competition as well. And starting to look rough for me. You won with the Washington football team against the Cincinnati Bengals, and you won with the Indianapolis Colts against the New York Packers. I got the Cleveland Browns -3.5 against the Philadelphia Eagles, who are very, very bad. But you are up 20-17-1 for the season. So time's winding down on me. Let's get it together.
Sounds like you owe me 2.5 for 3 beers. So,
yeah.
If you don't turn around, I'll be collecting up on that by Christmas time.
Hey, it's not going to be any high-end craft stuff, I can promise you that. Dealer's choice on the kind of beer that gets transferred back and forth.
Oh, well, joke's on you. Labatt Blue, I grew up on that, and that's my favorite. So if you think you're going to mail me something that I'm not going to like, I'm probably going to like it, actually.
All right. Well, win-win for us both, then.
I know I say this a lot recently, but we don't have any futures to talk about. So Scope and Futures is not going to be a segment this week. I've also teased this before, but we are definitely going to be doing an NBA 2020-2021 regular season primer, trying to get an NBA expert on to talk some hoops with us to guide us in our predictions. That being said, I got nothing here. There are futures to shop around, though, on BetMGM, which is our official odds and lines provider and sponsor of this podcast. All of our listeners out in Colorado, Las Vegas, New Jersey, Colorado, New Jersey, Indiana, Tennessee, and Nevada. Please check out BetMGM Sportsbook and any brick and mortar locations in your area. Adding the six state Tennessee really threw me for a loop, as you can hear. But yeah, there's a lot of futures to shop around on there. You know, college basketball is tipping off in a few days here. So if you're into college hoops, you know, definitely get some shop around for some futures on BetMGM Sportsbook. I'm going to be dipping into college basketball as the season picks up or starts, but I don't really have any futures, hence the no scope in futures. But we have a huge, huge BetMGM bugging slate or segment drawn up for you here. So it's week 12. You got the three Thanksgiving games, and there's no bye weeks this week, which is interesting. There's two more teams left to get a bye. Next week, it'll be Carolina and Tampa Bay. But because of COVID scheduling alterations, I'm assuming it's a weird year where there's no bye week in week 12, but there are in week 13. I don't know if you can clean that up for me. Does that sound right?
Is that what it is? It's not an annual Thanksgiving weekend thing where everyone plays then. Can't remember back to previous years, I guess. But yeah, either way, everyone wins this week with full 16 games.
Yeah, I'm not, you know what? I don't want to put my foot in my mouth. I don't know if it's Thanksgiving or COVID, but yeah, like you said, we got all 32 teams playing, 16 games on the card. Unfortunately, because of the litany of injuries the San Francisco 49ers are dealing with, the San Francisco 49ers at the Los Angeles Rams is off the board at BetMGM. So we're going to talk about 15 games. And without any further ado, let's get into our BetMGM bug-in segment where we can talk about the slate.
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. MGM bug-in.
All right, we're starting off with Detroit hosting its traditional Thanksgiving Day game at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. Probably before you get the fixings out, but while you're still working on your hors d'oeuvres, they are hosting the Houston Texans. The line right now is Houston favorite 2.5, juiced up to -121. If you want the points with Detroit, it's even money. The over-under is 51.5. The money line's -143 for the Texans. For the Lions, it is +120. Houston won as a 2.5-point home underdog, 27-20 over the Patriots last week. Deshaun Watson played an incredible game. That was Eston's best bet of week 11, one of his best bets of the NFL season to this point, and it was an all-around impressive victory for Houston. Maybe not all-around, but definitely led by the quarterback. Detroit got shut out 20-0 and lost outright as closing three-point road favorites to the Carolina Panthers, who played without Teddy Bridgewater. It was really one of the most disgraceful performances of 2020. I would actually say it's the worst performance of 2020. You agree with me, right? Well, do you want to say anything negative about the Detroit Lions, or are you going to spin it positively?
Why kick a dead horse, I guess. That was one of, if not the single worst game played by any team this season. 20-0 to a team that had just lost a whole bunch of games in a row. And I don't know, like, to PJ Walker, you know, shout out to the XFL, just turning over talent like crazy in their short lifespan. Came in and diced up a Detroit Lions team. And like, Kenny Galladay's a very good wide receiver. How that team just shows absolutely zero life without him in the lineup, though, is crazy. Like, Matt Patricia, pack your bags, bud. Like, it's over. There's no way he can stick around past this year. I don't care if they win out.
Yeah, one of my buddies is a huge Lions fan, and his assessment is that they essentially quit on Patricia. I mean, I would assume he's... You never know with the Ford family, I guess, but I would assume he's fired, right, as we speak. They just don't feel like doing it on a holiday week on short prep. He could last the season, but if they get pummeled by Houston this week, which I think they're gonna get, I think they're gonna get beaten up pretty good by Houston. Yeah. Then this dude has to go. I mean, they still actually, if they lose this week, they do not have an outside chance at the playoffs. But you know, they could have made a coaching move midseason and probably righted the ship. Deshaun Watson's like a top 10 quarterback this year, and he's really hit a stride lately. I don't know how much of your handicap was for Houston over Patriots last week was Deshaun Watson specific. I can't remember, or if it was a play against the Patriots. But either way, he came through for you last week.
It was largely on Watson, and yeah, he did what I expect. You know, he played very well against the Patriots last year. Obviously, DeAndre Hopkins was gone, but he has enough widespread talent, I guess, that, yeah, he was able to just carve up the Patriots' pass defense, and obviously the mobility as well is another factor. And yeah, you know, Detroit, they lost to PJ Walker last week, and he scrambled around a little bit, while Deshaun Watson is just PJ Walker times 10 or whatever crazy number you want to put in there. And yeah, I don't see Detroit having an answer for Deshaun Watson, and you know, other than David Johnson, an otherwise healthy Houston Texans team, you know, DeAndre Swift and Kenny Golladay probably both headed to being questionable Thursday. And yeah, those two injuries have just mattered way more than they should.
Right. I mean, it's clear how many people actually didn't watch Detroit Carolina, because a lot of people that I heard are podcasters or radio show hosts were saying how feisty PJ Walker looked. He threw two interceptions in the back of the end zone. Carolina was not good. Detroit was terrible. That's what happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, yeah, PJ Walker, fine backup, whatever, but that was one of the worst performances of all of 2020 in the NFL.
I teased you a bit last week about that being your Super Bowl. You've been much higher on both teams than I've been all year long. How did you end up on that one?
What do you mean?
Did you have a play on that?
No. Oh, yeah. No, I did play on that. Excuse me. Yeah, you're talking about Detroit Lions or Detroit Carolina, right?
Yes.
So I was struggling, and with my circ, I didn't play any side bets on it or cash with the book, but I did put it in my circa contest, because it was the contest line came out as 1.5, Detroit favored 1.5, and then it got steamed up to like -3, and I knew it was going to head in that direction before it was officially listed again by the books, because I thought Teddy Bridgewater wasn't going to play. So I thought, given they had injuries at cornerback, injuries in the offensive line, no Christian McCaffrey, no Teddy Bridgewater. So yeah, I took the Lions, and I'm not that upset about it, despite losing in the contest with these guys. You know, I'm more mad at myself for betting the Lions, but I didn't anticipate that kind of a stinker. And yeah, whether or not they quit on Patricia, I don't know. Time will tell. But they have 16 players in the injury report, and I likened this. We got to get out of here soon. Can't spend too much time in the first Thanksgiving game, but I liken the Houston Texans and how they're trending to last year's Atlanta Falcons team after the bye week. I think the Texans are going to finish the season 6-10, 7-9. I don't think 8-8, but you never know. They have the skill to beat some of the teams that are on their schedule, and their schedule is not too tough. So, against the Lions, I gotta love them. I'm taking this to the window with me for sure. And yeah, like, Kenny Golladay shouldn't matter that much, but he evidently does. I mean, Houston's got the worst rush defense in the league, but Detroit is tied with Houston at number 28 with a rush success rate. They had 40 yards last week against the Carolina Panthers. Yeah, DeAndre Swift was out. That shouldn't matter. Jesus, that shouldn't matter. I'm taking this to the window, but I like the Texans at -2.5 for sure.
Yeah, this segment's called BetMGM Buggin', and this is a great first game for that title. This line's way too conservative for me. Like, I don't get the draw to taking the Detroit side on such a small spread.
Yeah.
Especially coming off the Week 11 results for both teams. Like, yeah, it's just way too small for me. I would take Texans 5.5, probably.
What I already did is I put in a money line parlay, which is going to come out to be 3-1, where I took the Texans. It's all Thanksgiving money line favorites. So I took the Texans, I took Dallas, and I took the Steelers. I might try to hedge with some teaser action or just take some points on one of the or two of these games. Definitely looking at Washington and Baltimore more so than Detroit, but. Yeah, I just think the only like sharp, and it's not even sharp in my opinion, the only sharp handicap or angle to take on this game is that this line is suspiciously low. But I'm not going on a limb with that one, I'll tell you that. Moving on.
Yep. All right.
We're on the same page with this? Are we both going to the window with it? You want me to just put in your bet with mine?
Yeah, I love that Thanksgiving money line parlay. That's always a good one to get. You see a lot of, you know, more even lines than you should on Thanksgiving, just with all three national games. So yeah, that's a great strategy and a good way to get some value on Houston in a game that they're going to just run away with from the opening kickoff, I feel.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, I have a money line parlay and I'll bet the -2.5. Like again, this is like one of those situations. It's, I get them like once every 3 weeks where I'm pretty happy to lose my rent on one of these stupid lines. So BetMGM, if you got me here, I think you're bugging, but if you got me, then hey, you can get a rent check from Jeff Clark. Moving on.
Nope.
Washington football team playing their second game this year against the Dallas Cowboys. Washington ended Joe Burrow's 2020 in a 29 victory versus the Bengals in week 11. Washington closed as 2-point favorites. I took the over in that game to the window with me. I took Washington in the circa contest, and I put it on the table, so to speak, Esten. I took Washington in my Survivor League as well. Woo! But Dallas, they won its first game with Andy Dalton as a starter, 31-28 as touchdown road dogs versus the Minnesota Vikings. If everyone remembers Dalton being CTE'd 3 games prior by the same Washington team in week 7, a late dirty hit by John Bostic. Dallas's run game finally got in gear, gaining a season high 180 rush yards on the strength of Ezekiel Elliott with 100 plus yards and Tony Pollard with an efficient, I think, 50 plus yards and a touchdown. It was a really good performance by Dallas, who overcame a pretty impressive Minnesota performance. Where are you leaning in this game?
Yeah, last week we saw the Dallas Cowboys team, you know, you and I and most people kind of expected to see when Andy Dalton came in to replace Dak Prescott. And that was still always going to be a very talented offensive team. We caught a glimpse of that last week. Well, no, we saw the full thing last week. CeeDee Lamb must have caught wind of the Joe Burrow injury somehow and realized the Offensive Rookie of the Year award's kind of up for the taking again. He turned in his best game of the season. A lot of the Dallas offense did. I'm on Dallas -3 here, and if they can do anything offensively they did last week, no way Washington can keep up. Now, Washington put up 29 points on a bad Cincinnati Bengals defense last week in a game that they kind of controlled throughout. And Cincinnati was never really in, I guess, especially not after Burrow went down, and you know, Washington wasn't really able to pad stats anyway. So, yeah, if Dallas plays this as a wide open offensive battle, they run away with it early on.
I leaned the Cowboys -3. I really like this Washington team. I took both Washington and Dallas in my circa last week. And I hammered Dallas moneyline live. I was all over them. That was actually my biggest win last week. I really like that position. Like you said earlier, this is, though it's in the daytime, it's technically a primetime game. And we've talked about how sketchy Andy Dalton is in primetime. So that definitely makes me nervous. I'm higher than on Washington as a team than most people. You're not going to hear this in a lot of places. I think their defense is overrated. I do. I think it's overrated. They obviously get to the quarterback, but they're not that good against the run. And I don't know, whatever. What are your thoughts on that?
Right, even for the getting to the quarterback, you eliminate those 8 sacks in the season opener against the Eagles, and it really hasn't been that impressive. And yeah, Chase Young probably going to have a great career. Not that impressive of a rookie season, and you know, a lot of players around him not helping out all that much. And yeah, the secondary gets a lot of turnovers, very opportunistic that way, but I think if Andy Dalton doesn't throw this one away, Dallas wins comfortably and moves to the top of the NFC East.
Yeah, God damn it. I wish you didn't say that. but they have the tiebreaker on the Giants. So if we can beat the Bengals, and we'll talk about that in a second here, then yeah, they would actually move into first place of the NFC. Actually, it would be pending on Philly's Monday Night Football game. But
well, that's a very loose pending. I think that one's chalked up already in most spots, and for good reason.
For sure. Yeah, they might be my survivor play this week, Seattle. I actually, to your point, though, about the whole sacks, where they really like kind of piled them up against Carson Wentz in week one. I don't know how much they had against DiNucci when they knocked out Andy Dalton, but I thought it was interesting. Dallas and Washington get like pretty much the same amount. They have the same pressure rating. Like, I'm pretty sure Washington gets pressure on like 20.7% of the time, and Dallas is like 19.3%. It's just the sacks. And like, Carson Wentz essentially gave them like, I don't know, 6 or 7 of the 8 sacks in week one. So again, I don't know, it's a little bit of a hunch, but your point about the sacks getting there, my point blending that with the pressure rating, is kind of like a little bit of my proof that I think they're a little overrated on defense. So I think the offense here for the Cowboys is going to have success.
Yeah, and you know, obviously Andy Dalton's back to health. The offensive line is getting healthy as well. That was a big part of the struggles. And like, not only was it Ben DiNucci and Garrett Gilbert starting, but they were starting behind a replacement offensive line. Everyone's back. The run game sparked. The receivers are going to be ready to go in primetime against the Washington football team.
Yeah, and just my apologies to the listeners. We probably spent like 15 minutes talking about Houston, Detroit, Washington, and Dallas. So let's move on to the actual, the real game, or the actual, the headliner of the Thanksgiving slate with the Baltimore.
Real game's a good one for it.
Yeah. The Baltimore Ravens are visiting Pittsburgh Steelers at Heinz Field. Kickoff is scheduled for 8:20 p.m. The Steelers are favored -4 at it's -110 on both sides. Over under is 45.5, with the under being juiced to -115, putting the over at -106. Money lines: Ravens +160, the Steelers at -189. Baltimore lost their 2019 AFC divisional round revenge game against Tennessee last week, 30-24 in overtime. Pittsburgh made pretty quick work of Jacksonville, 20-3, and covered as double-digit road favorites to remain undefeated, 10-0. Excuse me. Baltimore is looking to avenge its 28-24 Week 8 loss to Pittsburgh. I lean Baltimore again. I already took, which is a weird thing to say, because I already took Pittsburgh on the money line, which is -189, and it's going the other way, which I find interesting because I got it at -205. But the Ravens outgained them by like 236 total yards last game. They had 265 rushing yards, but they were -3 in turnover differential and had 9 penalties with 110 yards. They're going to be without Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams, so obviously that gives you concern about them defending the run, but Pittsburgh's run defense is not all that great. You know, and it's only a lean to the Ravens because to me, the biggest factor, the biggest handicap with, or the biggest reason for the Ravens underperforming expectations, it isn't Lamar Jackson, in my opinion. He's not doing much to help himself, but the offensive line lost a future Hall of Famer in Marshall Yanda this offseason, and lost what turned out to be the highest paid offensive tackle in the league with Ronnie Staley. Their wide receiver corp is trash, in my opinion. They're not doing anything to help him out. But I think Lamar will have success on the ground here. And I think given this team, these teams' history, the four could actually be like a pretty big number, right? So I leaned the Ravens, even though I took the Steelers in the money line. What are you thinking?
Yeah, and Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins ruled out of this one. I guess they themselves tested positive for COVID-19, so it's not just contact tracing. So they are out of the game, I think. But I think that's overvalued a little bit. Like, Gus Edwards is a very good RB3. And, you know, he's obviously going to play a bigger role here. And he's had success himself against the Pittsburgh Steelers before. So I don't think that needs to be factored in too much here. And the line really hasn't moved since all these COVID tests, news, whatever, for the Ravens. So, yeah, obviously the biggest absences are going to be Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams. I think they're probably not going to play. They're probably going to end up being questionable officially.
And just to help you with that, in addition to Brandon Williams' injury, I'm pretty sure he's on the COVID contact tracing tracing list. So
yeah,
not only does he have to like rehab his injury, but he also has to pass COVID tests.
Yeah. Okay. Good. So he's probably out. Juju Smith-Schuster, also questionable for the Steelers. Well, that's okay. He's been their number three wide receiver for most of the year. Chase Claypool and Deontay Johnson fully capable of getting the job done against the Baltimore Ravens. Yeah, that four is questionable. I think I like the Steelers side of it still. They won by four in week 8. And again, that was against a healthier Ravens side. Ravens, yeah, they really need to start winning. That's 6-4. They're, you know, kind of falling toward the bottom of that AFC wild card pool of teams all tied at 6-4. Pittsburgh, obviously, still 10-0. You got to feel that a loss is coming. And prime time against a division rival is a good spot for it. But I want Steelers -4. They still have it to get one more statement win here before maybe they start thinking about resting guys, taking the foot off the gas a little bit. Mike Tomlin doing a good job of keeping the team motivated, saying that the only thing perfect about the Steelers is their record. Well, you know, that's really the only thing that matters, at least right now.
Coach speak.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, good on him. Mike Tomlin, one of the best coaches in the NFL for a long time, and has his team playing great. Four of their last 5 games were on the road. They're home for 2 games now, and I think that's going to play a bit of a part here. They're going to be happy to be back at Heinz Field and on primetime with Pittsburgh Steelers. Plenty used to playing primetime games. And, you know, we haven't seen them on Thanksgiving all that often in recent years. We get a big statement win out of the Steelers.
Impressive handicap, Eston. I like it. And I feel even better about my Pittsburgh Steelers and the money line with that parlay. But you did nail something that also has me leaning to the Ravens and ultimately passing this one against the spread. And that's just – this is like an all-in game for the Ravens. Like, I know they're beat up at running back, but, like, this is one of the where it feels like Lamar – you might have to run the ball 20 times. Like, it's their season's kind of on the brink, which is a surprise fall from grace given where they were projected to go preseason. But it's going to be the game of Thanksgiving. So I'm excited for it as well. Or I'm definitely excited for it. Ready to move on to the Sunday part of the slate?
Yep. It'll be a good game to help keep everyone awake after their Thanksgiving dinner. So have that to look forward to.
Me and you got like a little peaceful Thanksgiving. We didn't go head-to-head in any games. That's nice.
No, yeah. Just got Sunday to sweat it out. And, you know, we're going to have a nice friendly Thursday Thanksgiving. And then the ante gets up on Sunday.
I'm sure. Yeah, we got to find something we'll go head-to-head on. It might be this game. The first game in the Sunday rotations, Las Vegas Raiders visiting the Atlanta Falcons, Las Vegas Raiders, coming off of a heartbreaking loss to the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, 35-31, thanks to a game-winning touchdown pass from Patrick Mahomes to Travis Kelce, 28 seconds remaining to punctuate a 75-second drive. They did cover the 7.5 closing line. Atlanta got blown out by New Orleans 24-9 and Taysom Hill's first start. Atlanta was the circa contest most popular pick of the week. They failed to cover as 3.5-point closing dogs. Right now, the betting situation is -3 for the Raiders going to Atlanta, -110 on each side. The over-under is 54.5, -115. On the over, -106 on the under. Money lines, Raiders, -162. -162. Falcons, +135. You are a Taysom Hill naysayer. Are you willing to give him a little credit, or do you just want to tear down the Falcons?
Tear down the Falcons. Taysom Hill, you know, he ended up getting the win and ended up actually doing enough to get the win. So, yeah, credit there. Fine, sure. He would have lost that game in the first quarter against any real NFL team. The way Taysom Hill played in the first quarter, the first half of that game, was awful. It was atrocious. It was one of the worst quarterback performances we saw all season. And, you know, it seemed like the Saints were headed toward the loss they so desperately deserved for Sean Payton's overconfidence and, you know, his the belief he has in Taysom Hill and himself that's just completely unearned. They should have lost that. Falcons ended up kicking 3 early field goals, and those were the only points they scored. 9 points in a 24-9 loss. You mentioned the Falcons failed the cover as 3-point dogs. Well, they were 5-point dogs for most of the week. You mentioned the heavy action on Atlanta through the week. Yeah, that was poor, and I was on the wrong side of that as well. Lost by 15 to Taysom Hill, who is not a good quarterback. He ended up rushing for a touchdown and, like I said, did enough to win. That's not going to happen against very many teams, and we're going to get into our Saints handicap a little bit later. The Atlanta Falcons coming off a bye, and that's the kind of effort they put forth against Taysom freaking Hill and the New Orleans Saints. Come on, stick a fork in these guys. They're done. 3-7. You know what? They were playing well under Raheem Morris. There was a lot of chatter. Raheem Morris was now actually a candidate to coach the Atlanta Falcons in 2021 and beyond. That's over with. Raheem Morris is a placeholder interim coach. He's gone as soon as the season's over, and, you know, move on from the Atlanta Falcons. Las Vegas Raiders, yeah, I wish they weren't coming off such a heartbreaking loss to the Chiefs, but they bounce back in a big way on the road here, and they win by 4 or more points pretty comfortably.
All right. Well, Essen, this is what it's all about. This is betting the NFL. I like the Falcons plus the points plus 3 for 2 units. This is probably my best bet of the week. It's a situational all right. Spot. We're going head-to-head, right, officially?
Yep.
It's a situational spot of the week. I like to begin my NFL handicapping every week by start looking at the teams that just came off of a against the spread win and play going against a team that's coming off an against the spread loss. Obviously, you know, Raiders impressed on Sunday Night Football. Falcons with a pretty embarrassing loss. You know, thank God Detroit Lions said hold my beer on that one. But you got a short rest week, excuse me, with Las Vegas. It's made even shorter by Thanksgiving, right? Everyone, it's not like they're taking Thanksgiving off. They're going to, you know, chill with their family on Thanksgiving. They have to travel across country in a 1 o'clock window where they're only, since John Gruden took over in 2018, they're 3-5 straight up and against the spread on the East Coast in the 1 o'clock window. There's also like this exercise in sports betting where, if you take an account that home field advantage is 3 points, then, and you flip, if you flip the spread or add 6 points to the spread on the other side and see if you would bet the team. Now, the example would be, would you take the Raiders at -9 if they were at home against the Falcons? That's not, there's no way I would do that, right? You could say that home field advantage is lessened this year. fair enough. Either way, if I'm getting over seven in this spot with the Falcons on the road, I would take them. So I think there's value in the plus three. The Raiders are 2-2 against the spread as a road favorite since John Gruden came in 2018, but they're minus 13.2 in average point margin, minus 15.5 against the spread margin. You got coach familiarity. Raheem Morris worked for John Gruden. He took over for him in 2019 at Tampa Bay when John Gruden went to ESPN for Monday Night Football. This is the quintessential pros versus Joes game. Opened up as a pick'em, got steamed up to the Raiders minus three. 57% of the money is on Vegas, but 84% of the bets. So the sharp money is steering towards the Falcons. We'll see how it goes pre-kickoff. You'll know this. I think you pay attention to the Falcons a lot more than me. They're actually really good against running backs. They're tied for fifth in defense against or fantasy points allowed to running backs. And if this Raiders offense is a question mark without a consistent run game, in my opinion. I think Julio Jones, who's not practicing, is going to play. Calvin Ridley looked good. It's a spot of the week for me, so I'm taking the Falcons plus three.
Yeah, Falcons pretty good against running backs this year. They've been awful for a very long time. I guess that was mostly Dan Quinn's fault, which happy to place that blame on him anyway. So yeah, Josh Jacobs, maybe a quiet routing for him. Falcons, they are bad against tight ends though. So Darren Waller going to be a threat, especially in the red zone. Julio, I don't know. Yeah, don't know if you watched much of that game last week, but seeing him limp over to the sideline a couple times, it looked much worse than it usually does. You know, like Julio Jones is kind of the king of questionable. Everyone kind of seems to overreact a little bit more. This guy always ends up playing, never misses games. I don't know. I don't feel that confident this week that he's going to be out there. He looked to be in some serious pain on the sidelines last week. He came back out late in the game when the Falcons thought they had a chance at maybe a comeback, made a nice grab over the middle, limped off immediately afterwards. So if Julio's out, that's a big red flag for me. And I think that causes the line to grow a little bit, so I'm happy to get on the Vegas Raiders minus three right now.
Sure, I'm gambling with between me and you, but that is a great point that you just made, and everyone at home should pay attention to that. Monitor the injury report. If Julio Jones isn't playing, I would still take the Falcons, but it would only be one unit and not two units. And if you didn't want to take the Falcons because they didn't have Julio Jones, completely understandable. So definitely monitor the injury report on that. Let's move on, right?
Let's do it.
Next game in the rotation, Arizona Cardinals are getting are favored 2.5 as they go to the Patriots. The over-under is 48.5. The over's juiced to 115. The under's at minus 106. Money lines, Cardinals minus 150. Patriots plus 125. Arizona lost straight up and against the spread to Seattle on Thursday Night Football 28-21. Patriots kept up with its 2020 inconsistency by losing as 2.5-point road favorites at Houston, even though they had an impressive home victory on Sunday Night Football against Baltimore. In week 10, I feel like you have a better read on both these teams than I do. What do you think?
Yeah, in short, my read is the Arizona Cardinals are good. The New England Patriots are not. And this, to me, is another Patriots line. We saw it last week where they're 2.5-point road favorites against the Texans. Well, that obviously didn't go too well. And the Cardinals, only 2.5-point favorites here. Now, 6-4 Cardinals, probably playoff-bound Arizona Cardinals. They win this game by more than 3 points. Absolutely. How are the Patriots going to keep up with them? The Houston Texans just hung 27 points on them. I feel better about the Arizona Cardinals offense than I do Houston's. No disrespect to Deshaun Watson, but the Cardinals run game is a whole lot better and the receivers are a whole lot better. Oh, DeAndre Hopkins is now on the Cardinals. That's right. I forgot for a second. But yeah, the Patriots, they're not good. They can't keep up with anybody, and the defense isn't shutting anyone down other than the Baltimore Ravens in an awful weather game. Let's not forget, it's not that long ago since the New York Jets put up 30 points on them. 27 points? Well, whatever. Close to 30 points against the Jets.
Too many.
27 points is a New York Jets 30. So,
oh, it's yeah. A New York Jets 50.
Yeah, exactly. Cardinals minus 2.5. Let's go. Patriots, you know, fall to 4-7 and stick a fork in them. They're done after this week. Hopefully we stop seeing these New England Patriots lines.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you are adamant that they're overrated, then you're getting some value on these lines. And, you know, good luck to you. I lean to the Patriots, but I need more points with the Patriots, I think, to take them versus a quality team. Like, they need to start beginning, start getting like 5 or 6 in spots like this, in my opinion. You know, you got Arizona off extended rest. But, you know, Pat's defense, pass defense has been surprisingly bad this year, but they are getting healthy. They got Gilmore back in the secondary, which didn't do much for them last week. Arizona's got a really, really bad run defense, which is going to open it up for Cam Newton, I think. There's definitely a pros versus Joes as the money's split on how much is wagered, but 79% of the bets are on Arizona. It actually opened at a pick'em, which is pretty surprising. The one bet that I do like here, actually, is I would bet over Cam Newton rushing yards. I just like the idea of Cam Newton being motivated to play against a tinier, younger version of himself. And he's going to get like motivated, be like, oh, yeah, you know what? I can run too. So yeah. If I were to make a bet on that game, I need a couple more points from New England. If it gets steamed up to 3.5, I might take it. But I'm definitely going to take Cam Newton over rushing yards.
Yeah, you nailed it. That's exactly what I mean by these Patriots lines. And yeah, if this was 5, 5.5, 6, I would certainly see the intrigue in taking New England. But, you know, just try picturing the final scoreboard on Sunday afternoon. And I don't see the Patriots being within a point or two in a loss. Like, yeah, there's a chance they pull the outright upset and win this thing. It's far more likely to me that Arizona wins by 3, 4, 5, 6 points, right? Like, yeah. I don't see the Patriots losing a nail biter.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with you. I just, you know, it is a early morning start, or excuse me, 1 o'clock start for a West Coast team, and the weather report it look pretty clean, so I don't know if that changes and there's some more weather. I think more about it, but I'm just gonna pass. Moving on to the New York Giants. Visiting the Cincinnati Bengals, the Giants are favored 5.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had to pause there. The Giants are favored. Like, think about that. Think about how far from grace the Bengals have fallen because of the injury to Joe Burrow also. And everyone's high on the Giants right now. Obviously, I'm leading the bandwagon as a fan, but that's crazy. Favored 5, minus 110 each way. The over-under is 42.5, minus 110 each way. New York Giants, minus 233. The money line's plus 190. I don't play the money line that heavy, but I kind of don't even hate it because I don't want to fuss at the points, and I do think the Giants are a lock. I'm biased, so I'm going to pass. But Giants coming off a bye, bottlenecked at the top of the NFC East with 3 wins with every other team. Their defense is legit, in my opinion. Daniel Jones is very not legit, but he has legit weapons to use. I don't know what your feeling is on Ryan Finley or Brandon Allen. I would prefer Brandon Allen because from what I've seen, Ryan Finley, who's Joe Burrow's replacement, is the worst starting quarterback in the NFL now. So I would only play the Giants. Again, I'm biased, so I'm just going to pass.
Yeah, this one opened in some spots at Bengals minus 2.5 last week. And you know what? If Joe Burrow was playing, if Joe Mixon was playing, this would be an interesting game. A very close game, at least. With no Joe Burrow, no Joe Mixon, you know, you're taking away the number one pick from a team that was bad enough to pick number one, right? And you're also taking away their next best offensive player, and Joe Mixon, a fantastic running back. And you're plugging in Ryan Finley, who we bashed in our preseason shows when the Bengals benched Andy Dalton for him last year. He's not good. I don't know why he's still on this team or in this league. And yeah, he's probably going to start over Brandon Allen, who, you know, maybe Brandon Allen's a little bit better. He certainly can't be much worse. This Bengals team, they have no hope without Joe Burrow or Joe Mixon, who they don't have either. The Giants, yeah, 5.5 is a lot for a 3-7 team, a pretty bad 3-7 team. They've looked a little bit better of late, and you know, they spanked the Philadelphia Eagles the week before their bye. That was their back-to-back wins. So, yeah, I'm Giants -5. No bias here. You know I hate the Giants as much as anyone. So, yeah, I think I have to take them. There's no reason to take the Bengals, and this goes back to something we've talked about many times before with other teams. You know, if you don't see a reason why a team like the Bengals could win or cover 5.5, then just bet the Giants at whatever or just stay away. But I'm confident enough in the Giants that I can take -5 here without much sweat or concern.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to do some crazy mental gymnastics to be able to land on Bengals +5 here.
Right. Ryan Finley matches up very well against the New York Giants defense.
Yeah. They're looking forward to playing him. I'll tell you that. And the Giants have had a pretty tough schedule. They get Ryan Finley off of a bye week. I mean,
they've earned a cakewalk matchup. So good for the Giants. And yeah, they're going to be no worse than tied for first place in the NFC least after this.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants, you know, they could put up a stinker, and just like, I think the defense is good to get Ryan Finley off the field. So many, like, they're going to have so many chances to score and to get over a touchdown spread on this game. So, but whatever. Yeah. We talked enough about this, the stinker probably. Well,
last thing. Well, let's not pretend that the Cincinnati Bengals defense is good enough to win this for them either, right? Like, yeah, Daniel Jones makes mistakes and the Giants are down to a third string running back. That's going to be fine against the Cincinnati Bengals defense. That is also bad. So Giants all in.
All right, moving on to the Cleveland Browns at the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Cleveland Browns are favored 6.5. The over-under is 49.5, 110 each way, 110 each way on the spread as well. The money lines are Browns favored 278. Jaguars are +225. Jacksonville, as we talked about earlier, got boat raced by Pittsburgh 27-3. And what's hopefully Jake Luton's final game if Gardner Minshew can return from his thumb injury. Cleveland beat Philly in another Cleveland weather game 22-17, covering a 3.5-point favorites, ruining my best bet of week 11 and giving Eston a win in our head-to-head battle. I'm passing on this game just because, I mean, the matchup says Cleveland and all, but I don't really like laying this many points on the road with Baker Mayfield. They haven't shown enough to cover in this spot traditionally. And the Gardner Minshew could have success throwing the ball if he's actually playing. And I really like the rookie running back for them. But, I mean, I fully expect the Browns to win comfortably. I'm just not going to bet it. What are you thinking?
Yeah, James Robinson's been great for the Jaguars, but you know, I think Cleveland would be more than happy to have this turn into a battle of the running backs. Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb just both looking fantastic in that backfield. And I think Baker Mayfield turns it on this week and we see something good out of him. You know, Cleveland playing some bad weather games, a lot of them at home of late, you know, still coming out on top, still moving to 7-3. They're going to be quite happy to move into some friendly, pass-friendly weather in Jacksonville. And I think Baker Mayfield puts on, well, maybe can't put on a show, but I think he looks good anyway. And this becomes a bit more evenly split run-pass game for the Cleveland Browns. You know, get Jarvis Landry back involved, Rashard Higgins, Donovan, the People's Jones get involved in the pass game, Austin Hooper as well. Yeah, the Jaguars 27-3 last week. And, you know, Jake Luton had been looking okay, and there was a lot of talk that maybe he was stealing that starting job from Gardner Minshew for the rest of the season before the team moves on from both of them and goes forward with Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields. Well, Gardner Minshew, if he can play, is going to start over Jake Luton after the way Luton and the Jaguars played last week against a much better defensive team in the Pittsburgh Steelers than the Cleveland Browns are. But the Cleveland Browns, if they get Myles Garrett back in the lineup this week, you know, that defense, that pass rush at least, is as scary as most other teams in the NFL. Yeah, there's a chance here the Jaguars backdoor cover, you know, especially with scrambly Gardner Minshew, but I'm not as worried about that. I'm going to take the Cleveland Browns, and you know, they can just run out the clock for most of the second half with Nick Chubb. He has looked fantastic since returning to the lineup.
Okay, on to the next game. Carolina Panthers are visiting the Minnesota Vikings. Carolina Panthers are getting 4.5. The over-under is 48.5, minus 110 on the spread and the over-under. The money lines, Vikings minus 200 again at home. Panthers at plus 165. I'm going to pass pending the injury reports. If Teddy Bridgewater were to play, I would definitely lean to the Panthers plus the points. You know, I think everyone who's watched or paid attention in the NFL this season will agree that Matt Rhule is a pretty good coach, or at least he's doing good, right? I mean, time will tell. It could be like a Matt Nagy thing where you kill it in your first year and then suck after a game film. There's enough game film on you. But, I mean, you know, Carolina beat the crap out of Detroit 20-0. Detroit forgot to get off the bus. You know, again, Teddy Bridgewater's a game-time decision. No Christian McCaffrey, or at least he's doubtful. Minnesota lost a 7-point home favorites. And if you look at the box score, I challenge you to figure that out. I mean, they lost 31-28 despite everyone in their offense balling out. I know Kirk Cousins had a 100-plus quarterback rating, 300-plus yards. Dalvin Cook had 100-plus yards and a touchdown. Justin Jefferson got in the end zone. Adam Thielen had one of the best catches all season. He got in the end zone twice, and yet they lost. Doesn't make much sense to me. It's like one of those weird Cousins games. Carolina's 4-1 against the spread on the road. Minnesota's only 2-3 against the spread at home. You know, Teddy's got a little revenge in his heart. He used to play for Minnesota and for Mike Zimmer. I don't fully know who gets the edge because of that, but either way, I'm going to pass. Where are you leaning on this game, or not leaning?
Yeah, I don't need to spend a whole lot of time here either. I kind of feel the same way as you. Right now, Minnesota -4.5 is what looks good to me. That offense is, as you said, just absolutely firing right now. Dalvin Cook leading the way, but Kirk Cousins, you know, has been playing good football. You know, having Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson helps out a lot, but he's using the two of them and maximizing their abilities as well. But yeah, if Teddy Bridgewater comes back and plays over PJ Walker, which if healthy, he obviously will, you know what? The Carolina Panthers showed against the Kansas City Chiefs that they can hang in an all-out offensive shootout with Matt Rhule and Teddy Bridgewater. So yeah, I think that's something they can do again. And even if Christian McCaffrey stays away, we've seen all season long for Mike Davis that, you know what, the Panthers don't need to miss McCaffrey too much, which is one of the most baffling things about this 2020 season. But as things stand right now, Minnesota -4.5. But I pivot quickly back toward Carolina if Bridgewater is able to play.
Yeah, just my personal philosophy is if I really have that much riding on an injury report, I probably just won't end up playing, you know. So, yeah. Next game, though, Tennessee Titans play the Colts the second time in 3 weeks. Their first matchup was a 34-17 Colts win in Week 10 Thursday Night Football that featured a few Tennessee punting gaffes. Tennessee's again getting 4 -110 each way. The over under is 49.5, -115 on the over, -106 on the under. The money lines, Colts -189 at home, Titans +160. No way will I bet this one. I wasn't a fan. I took an L in the first one, and the punting errors and the way that Tennessee lost kind of blew my brain. You know, both riding high off of huge wins. Tennessee beat Baltimore in a tense 30-24 overtime game. Harbaugh snubbed Vrabel out of a postgame handshake due to pregame Tennessee antics, I guess. I don't know the full story on that, so I won't dive any deeper. Indy came through as my second best bet of the week, though, taking down Green Bay 34-31 overtime. They covered as 1.5-point favorites. Do you want to step in on this one? Because I'm good. I'm passing.
Yeah, I'm going to lean toward Tennessee. You know, kind of anytime a team loses the way Tennessee lost that first meeting of the year against the Colts, You know, you just kind of have to go back to that team. You can't lose two head-to-head matchups strictly because of your punter, especially when he's off the team. Colts defense is good. That win last week was their most impressive one of the season by a landslide for me. I was on the Packers +2. I felt good about that for much of that game. Indianapolis came through when it mattered. And yeah, just ugly result for me, one of many on the week. So yeah, I'm not as anti-Indianapolis as I have been for much of the season, but I'm pro Tennessee in this spot. Obviously, the defensive edge goes to the Colts. Quarterbacks, Ryan Tannehill, Phillip Rivers. At worst, that's a wash for me, if not a slight edge to Tannehill. Run game, Tennessee has the advantage. Receivers, Tennessee has the advantage again. Obviously, the Indianapolis Colts defense can negate a lot of that, but I'm going to go with Tennessee coming off a nice win over the Baltimore Ravens in overtime. Both of these teams actually coming off overtime wins. You don't see a whole lot of that. It was a schedule anomaly to me doing my research here, looking back at last week. But yeah, Tennessee, maybe last week was a bit more of a get right spot for them. They have lost three of their last five, including that win last week. But I think that helps send them back on the right trajectory. They're still 7-3, both teams 7-3. This is for the AFC South lead. I'm on the Titans to cover +4 at least, and probably put a little sprinkle on +160 money line for the road upset.
Woo, sprinkle it. Next up, we got another West Coast team traveling East Coast to play in the 1 o'clock window with the Los Angeles Chargers visiting the Buffalo Bills. Los Angeles Chargers beat another AFC East team last week. Score wrong in my notes. It's 34-28, I believe, was the final score. They couldn't cover as 8.5-point favorites. Herbert essentially locked up Rookie of the Year with Joe Burrow's injury and a 366 passing yard, 3 touchdown, and 116.5 quarterback rating performance. Buffalo coming out of a bye. Buffalo is 3-0 straight up. 1-1-1 ATS under McDermott off of a bye. Lost in week 10. To Arizona. I think it was 30-28 off that crazy Hail Murray play. This, to me, is the best line of the week. It's perfect. I want no part of it because of which. Bills' defense is too inconsistent, and like the Chargers' offense is super consistent. Getting a little ahead of myself, everyone. I'm sorry. The line, Bills -6, 110 each way, over under 53.5, -110 each way. Money lines, Bills -250 at home, +210 for the Chargers. Again, I'm passing. Bills rush defense is pretty bad. Actually, it's very terrible. They are last in rush defense success rate, according to Warren Sharp. But the Chargers are 24th in rushing success rate. I actually think, you know, Sean McDermott off a bye week with a secondary that's underperforming is going to give Justin Herbert some issues, but really no one's given him issues yet. So that's just a hunch, and I don't like it enough to play it, especially at this number. Again, I think it's the best line of the week. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I'll agree for the most part there, and I agree that Buffalo off the bye is probably the biggest factor for me and what has me leaning in their direction. Yeah, Justin Herbert obviously just keeps on doing what he needs to do. Finally got a little bit more credit for it with a win last week over the awful New York Jets. The eliminated New York Jets, feels good to say that. But the Chargers had lost their previous three games. They're still not a very good team. Kalen Ballage leading the running attack. He got hurt last week, came back still for his revenge game. But yeah, I don't know. Just thinking about this quickly, Buffalo, a much better team, a playoff bound team. I'm on Buffalo to win by at least 7 points.
Cool. Well, great. We'll lock that in. I'm not going head to head with you on that one. The final game of the 1 o'clock window. Damn, this is such a juicy slate. Not this game, though. Miami Dolphins at the New York Jets. The Jets lost to the Chargers last week. We were just talking about that one, 34-28. Sam Darnold's status is questionable. Joe Flacco has filled in the last few games. Miami lost as a 3.5-point road favorite to the Denver Broncos, spoiling a lot of people's best bet of the week. Lost 20-13. Tua was ultimately benched for Ryan Fitzmagic in the process. Tua was benched for performance, not health. And Flores says he will start this game. Miami shut out New York, the Jets, 24-0. And I believe it was week 8. Again, got a wrong note here, but it was Fitzpatrick's last start for the Dolphins. Do you have a feeling either way on this game?
Dolphins, yeah, sure. Jets stink. The Dolphins beat the Jets 24-0 in week 6. That was with Ryan Fitzpatrick starting. And yeah, Tua Tagovailoa hasn't been all that impressive. I'm going to side with Brian Flores and saying that his decision to bench Tua because of performance issues is going to prove the right thing to do. A lot of people criticizing that move right now. And I think Brian Flores has done more than enough this year to deserve the benefit of the doubt. I think Tua comes out firing and he's got a great opponent to do that against. Jets, like I said, eliminated from the playoffs, 0-10, plus 7. No way they cover that against anybody. They're just awful. And in the spirit of Thanksgiving, you know, this game, like you said off the top of it, you know, it's kind of that one dish that your grandma still makes every year and no one has the heart to tell her that nobody likes it because it's her staple and she brings it every year. So everybody just takes a little portion and mushes around on their plate for a little while and then just says, oh no, I'm full. That's Dolphins at Jets to me. Yeah, this is another one. Bet the Dolphins -7 or just stay away because the New York Jets, Sam Darnold, probably questionable. LaMichael Perine, he's out. Joe Flacco and Frank Gore aren't taking you to the window with this one.
Yeah, I whiffed on this one again. The line is +7 with the Jets juice and -115. The Dolphins -7, -106. Over unders 45.5. We haven't hit totals at all. I haven't hit totals. 45.5. The over is juiced to 115, under 106. Money lines -304, -304 for the Dolphins, +250 for the Jets. I had this as I was in a. I liked it for one unit. The Jets +6.5. For +7, I'll take it for 1.5 units. And if I get the hook, I'd go up to 2 units. I know Miami's been on a roll, but Jets have covered 3 of 4. And the Jets are going to progressively play harder as they continue to be winless. And no one, I don't care how hard they're tanking or whatever, those guys don't want to go winless. If Tua doesn't have a rushing attack or a fluke defensive special teams touchdown, how does Miami score? Miami's 32nd in yards per rush. The Jets' defense is 5th in yards per rush. It's really the only thing they could do well. And Tua is thrown for under 100 yards in 2 of his 4 starts. So I'm not betting on him just carving up the Jets' pass defense, which, you know, admittedly isn't great. I think they have some weapons. I like that kid Mims. And Crowder is dependable. Hernand, if I'm saying it right, is pretty good. And Joe Flacco is like not as terrible as he was, and that's a pretty good compliment, I think. All right, whatever. I would prefer having Darnold in there anyways. And this is, I got line movement. 54% of the money and 82% of the bets are on Miami, yet the line is moving down. I think BetMGM would much rather take bets on Miami favored by 7.5 than Jets +7.5. Jets are the sharp money here, and that's where I'm going as well. So I like the Jets at, for now, +1.5 units, +7.
Hey, we're going head-to-head?
All right, if you want it, let's do it.
All right. Hey, anytime you tuck up the Jets, I'm on the other side of that.
All right, next game, first one in the 4 o'clock window, New Orleans Saints at the Denver Broncos. The lines are Saints favorite 6 minus 110 each way. Over under is 43.5 with the under juice to 115, putting the over at minus 106. Money lines, Saints road favorites minus 264. Broncos at home plus 215. I want no part of this one at all whatsoever. I would lean to the under. New Orleans won its first game without Drew Brees, 24-9 over Atlanta. Taysom Hill was 18 of 23 with 233 passing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, and he led the New Orleans Saints in rushing yards. New Orleans Saints defense shut out Atlanta in the second half. Their defense is locked in after I criticized them in the beginning of the year. Denver beat Miami and held them to 223 total yards. Melvin Gordon and Phillip Lindsay combined for 166 rushing yards. Melvin Gordon hit pay dirt twice. Again, I want no part of this. What are you thinking?
Yeah, you mentioned a couple games ago that we haven't hit over or hit totals too much. I'm absolutely on the under 43.5 here, even at minus 115. Yeah, the fear of betting the spread here, I lean toward Denver plus 6 because they do have the defensive talent to make Taysom Hill and Sean Payton look like the fools they deserve to be turned into. But yeah, it's just so scary here with both quarterbacks, Taysom Hill, Drew Locke for the Broncos. You know, this could very easily turn ugly quickly with a couple of defensive scores right off the get for one team, and you know, then the results just horribly skewed from there. That's the fear there for me, and that's keeping me away from the spread. But I do love the under 43.5. Two very good defensive teams. New Orleans Saints defense is looking as good as anyone right now, and the Broncos have the talent to, you know, capitalize on some Taysom Hill mistakes and ineptitude.
Denver's just the most random team ever. Like I said it last week, like I knew the sharp play was Denver, and still I took Miami just because Denver just puts up so many clunkers. That being said, I'm pretty sure they have a winning against the spread record. Ugh, I said pass, and that's it. I'm good on this one. Kansas City, this is the marquee game of the week, actually. Kansas City Chiefs are visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Chiefs favored 3.5. In Tampa Bay, minus 110 each way. The over-under is an even 56 with 110 each way. Kansas City's favored 186. Buccaneers plus 155. Pat Mahomes sees pole position in the NFL MVP race. And Kansas City's 35-31 win over Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday Night Football. Tampa Bay lost as 4.5-point favorites at home to the Los Angeles Rams on Monday Night Football, 27-24. The Rams defense just completely bodied Tampa Bay, held them to 251 total yards. They got a little bit of penalty luck to help them along in that game. So the score wasn't as bad as I thought like the game actually was. But do you want to go against Mahomes and Reed? What are you thinking?
No, I don't think you can. You know, Buccaneers are still 7-4. Yeah, that game Monday night was a lot closer than it probably should have been. I guess they're not going to get any sort of ref favoritism if that's kind of what people thought happened Monday. Not going to get that against the Chiefs. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes continues doing what he needs to do to win football games, and minus 3.5 is a much smaller number after they were getting 8 points last week against the Raiders. So yeah, I'm on Chiefs minus 3.5. They win by 4 or more. And no, Tampa, yeah, the Chiefs don't have the defense of the Rams, and you know, Tampa Bay, they've shown that they can be shut down by good defenses, and you know, they can still score points against bad or mediocre defenses, but 3.5 is just too small for me. You can see this one being tied late and Patrick Mahomes just leading another game-winning drive and Chiefs win by 6 or 7.
Yeah, that you hit something that I think is important. That Rams performance last night was interesting, and the fact that they are a really, really good running team who completely abandoned the run. They threw the ball 51 times against that pass rush and what's supposed to be a good pass defense. I think that Sean McVay and Goff put some stuff on film that Tampa Bay doesn't want other people to see, especially Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes. Goff threw one bad pick, at least.
And he threw two in the game.
Two in the game, okay. And one of them to JPP was real bad, and really Tampa Bay couldn't capitalize on as much as they should. Their rush game was completely taken out of it. I actually had a conversation with my brother about this earlier. I think kind of if you bet the Patriots in close game spots over the past 20 years, your win rate would probably be what? 67%? You win two every three bets. That's where I'm at with Mahomes. If I might just buy it to -3 and then be like, hey, anytime the Chiefs are only laying 3, that means that they're playing a game against a team that people are considering in their tier, and they're going to house them. I'll take the Chiefs until Patrick Mahomes retires by -3.5, I guess. So yeah, I'll put a unit on it.
Good strategy.
Yeah, right. I'll win, right? If I do that every time it happens, I'll win probably, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
The Sunday Night Football game, one of the oldest rivalries in football, the NFC North division rivalry between Chicago Bears visiting the Green Bay Packers. The Chicago Bears are getting 8.5, -110 each way. 45.5 is the over-under. Excuse me, the over is even money. The under is -121. Green Bay's favored 455 on the money line. Bears are +350. I'm checking out of this game. Green Bay lost a slight favorites at Indy in overtime, 34-31. Chicago's coming out of a bye. They lost to Minnesota 19-13 in Monday Night Football and failed to cover as 3.5-point home dogs. I really do like their defense. I like it a lot, you know. And a prime time game, and this is legit. Their season's on the line. I'm gonna lean to them towards the getting the points, but I'm not officially gonna take it, you know. So I don't know if you have a stronger opinion on this game. I'm assuming you did. I did not have a strong opinion.
Yeah, I'm fairly strongly on the Green Bay Packers here, -8.5, coming off that heartbreaking overtime loss. And you know, they lost that game because Phillip Rivers played a good game for the Colts and led a good passing attack. Michael Pittman Jr. really breaking out for the Colts as well. And Chicago just doesn't have a passing attack, and you know, Nick Foles, Mitchell Trubisky both banged up coming to this one. There's a chance, a pretty real chance, as of Tuesday, Tyler Bray could draw the start for the Bears. Now, that just puts an end to any hope of them putting up points, because David Montgomery isn't a sure thing to play either. He also just hasn't been very good. Yeah, the Bears defense is good enough to keep it close against similarly offensively challenged teams, I guess. But the Packers have the offense to score at least 2 or 3 touchdowns, even against the Bears defense. And, you know, I don't have a whole lot of hope in the Chicago Bears scoring more than a touchdown right now. Yeah, I'm on Packers -8.5 to win by at least 9, -110 odds, and I'm on under 45.5, -121.
I might follow you on the under. I like that. Monday Night Football, Seattle Seahawks going to the Philadelphia Eagles. Seattle got right with a division win after struggling a little bit back a few weeks ago. 28-21 on Thursday Night Football against the Arizona Cardinals. Philadelphia lost to Cleveland Browns 22-17 thanks to just an absolute brutal performance by the offense and the coaching staff. You actually had the best commentary that I've seen on this game when you tweeted out that Travis Fulgham needs a quarterback to throw him the ball. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, thank you. Everyone kind of got on Travis Fulgham when he had his surprise breakout here, and people saying Carson Wentz needs more help than Travis Fulgham. Well, no, the opposite is true. Carson Wentz stinks, and Doug Peterson is throwing away his job by staying committed to Carson Wentz. Just turn the reins over to Jalen Hurts here. What are you doing, guys? Like, Carson Wentz can't play anymore. And yeah, maybe injuries are a part of that. And sorry for that. That's too bad. And you hate to see it. But Carson Wentz isn't giving this team a chance to win any football game. And now they're playing one of the best teams in football in the Seattle Seahawks. Carson Wentz ain't keeping up Russell Wilson on primetime.
The lines, I forgot to give you guys the lines. Seahawks favored -5, -110 each way. 51.5 is the total. -115 is on the under. The over is -106. Money lines, Seahawks -250. Eagles at +205. Yeah. So Carson Wentz is having just a terrible season. Granted, Doug Peterson is as much of a nightmare. I mean, some of the decisions Carson Wentz makes is just absolutely brain dead, but the decisions or the spot that Doug Peterson putting him in is just unbelievable. So, yep. Last week, right, it was a windy, weathery game in Cleveland. They got Miles Sanders back. Their offensive line is the healthiest it's been all season long. The weaker part of Cleveland's passing attack is, or a defense, is their rushing, is their rush defense. You know, I like Carson Wentz and all, but like at the very minimum, this season is awful and everyone's watching it. People want to sit there and talk about EDSR and early down aggressiveness so you can get your quarterback comfortable. How about just doing old school and having him be a game manager, right? Doug Peterson called 35 passes in a weathery, windy, a road game with that rushing attack and that offensive line compared to 25 runs. It was one score for I don't know how many minutes. I don't know who needs to be fired in Philadelphia. The Philadelphia fans would say everyone, and I'd incline to agree. You know, if you can draft a quarterback that could be the future, why not put a little pressure on Carson Wentz? But holy shit, does Doug Peterson need a talking to? I mean, dude, I was yelling at the TV, yelling. Like, are you not running the football, man? You know what he's made. He leads the league in interceptions. Like, this don't get overly analytical. He's number one in interceptions. That's a bad stat. It was dumbfounding to watch. It was dumbfounding.
Right. And anytime a player drops off a little bit from one season to the next, like, everyone's immediately mailing them off, writing them off, saying this guy needs to retire, he's done, cut him. Doug Peterson, the drop off from, you know, if not last year, from a couple years ago, like, let's not forget, he's a Super Bowl winning head coach. And yes, he basically won them that Super Bowl with Nick Foles under center. He's not the same guy anymore. The drop-off in Doug Peterson's head coaching performance is astronomical. And I don't understand how that happens at that head coaching position. But it did happen. And I don't see how that's going to just automatically be fixed somehow. Yeah, Carson Wentz is a problem. He leads the league in sacks taken and interceptions. So, yeah, just a lot not going on right there. But Doug Peterson hasn't done anything to correct for that over the course of the season. And he's had the full season to correct for it, because Carson Wentz showed those warning signs in week one when he got sacked 8 times by the Washington football team. He's still just as bad. Doug Peterson hasn't found out a simple path to take. He, like, keep it simple, stupid goes for both Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson. Just zero hope in that team. 3-6-1. Yes, still technically atop the NFC East. Jeez. I don't see that happening this week. I think Dallas and New York Giants both move ahead of them. And you know what? Maybe the Cowboys and Washington tie. And they stay tied with Philadelphia. And the Giants just start running away with the division, because the Philadelphia Eagles are not winning that division.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, like Carson Wentz, we talked about this last week, I think. There is a misconception about his ability or what he brings to the table. He should be more of a game manager, and they're acting like he's Peyton Manning. Like, dude, you cannot have, like, they pass the ball at the third highest rate in the NFL, right? Third highest rate in the NFL. And the only way that, the only rationale you'd have for that is that the offensive line is so bad, and you don't, you know, you can't run behind that offensive line, that you think your franchise quarterback can just be magical and you put it on his shoulders. Dude, it's week 12. That ain't happening. That's not how you win right now, right? He's not doing that. And just to see him, Doug Peterson, not adjust, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I don't like killing coaches. I think the coaches influence, or not influence, but I think coaches can be overrated and or underrated at the same time. And I think in this spot, like, you know, I think he's actually hurting the team more so than Carson Wentz, even though Carson Wentz has been terrible too. And, you know, I know a whole bunch of huge Philly fans, and to explain the poor roster and the poor coaching, they would say that Frank Reich was the head coach, or the real brains in the operation as far as the coaching staff, and Joe Douglas, who's now at the New York Jets, was the brains behind the front office. But we spent too much time. I'm on the Seahawks as well. I'm not going to take it to the window, which is where we're going now. We got to get out of here. We've spent longer on this episode than any other NFL slate, but we had the fullest NFL slate since the first few weeks. So it's been a lot of fun. Let's get these bets in and get out of here. What do you say?
The Bet Slippin' Podcast. Going to the window.
Yeah, let's cash some, or play some tickets. We'll cash them Thursday and Sunday.
All right. So we went through this already, but I'll just start off with two bets. I have four on my slip. I'll get my first two out of the way, and I know you got something we didn't talk about. I'm going with the Texans money line. I didn't even want to fuss at the points at -1.5. I don't want to fuss the points, but I do think it is a lock. So 1.5 on Texans money line. I got to pull it up. What is it right now? It is -143. It's getting expensive, but the -2.5 is -121. Falcons +3 is my other bet on my slip for 1.5 units. What do you got going on?
Yeah, so Friday, day after Thanksgiving, we got the match Champions for Change. This is the match part 3 featuring Phil Mickelson. Tiger Woods not involved this time, so it's going to be a modified alternate shot match play. Phil Mickelson, Charles Barkley versus Steph Curry and Peyton Manning. Curry and Manning, a basketball player and a retired quarterback, are -183 favorites against Mickelson, a 44-time PGA Tour winner, 5-time major champion, and Charles Barkley as +135 underdogs. Take Mickelson and Barkley +135. Once again, one of them has won golf tournaments and plays golf as a profession for a living and has done very well at it, is a Hall of Famer, actually. This line is skewed. Like, everyone's seen Charles Barkley swing. It's horrible. Yeah. But Charles Barkley plays a whole lot of golf. That swing kind of works for him. He's not as bad as everyone thinks he is. Steph Curry, he's played a couple of Korn Ferry Tour events. That's the G League of golf, if you will. Now, he played those in 2017 and 2018, the Ellie Mae Classic as a sponsor exemption. Missed the cut in both of them, shot a best round of 71 in 2018. He also shot an 84 in one of those as well. Steph Curry isn't a dual threat athlete. Peyton Manning got carried to a victory by Tiger Woods in the match part 2 against Mickelson and Tom Brady last year. No way these guys should be -183 favorites. We just did BetMGM Buggin', but here's one more. BetMGM Buggin' big time. Take Mickelson, a professional golfer, and Charles Barkley at +135 to beat two guys.
All right, and to wrap up my bet slip, I got the Jets +7 at 1.5 units, and the Chiefs -3.5 at 1 unit. And that rounds up my bets for the week. What else do you got?
Yeah, I'll just circle back to a couple of total bets I made as well along the way. Packers, Bears, 45.5, under -121. I like that one quite a bit. I just don't see the Bears putting up more than 15 points, let's say. No, Niners, Rams off the board. Saints, Denver, under 43.5, -115 again. So again, I'm laying the juice on a total bet, not a personal favorite thing to do, but two very good defenses and two defenses that played very well just last week. And to recap our two head-to-head bets, I have the Las Vegas Raiders -3 against the Atlanta Falcons, and I have the Miami Dolphins -7 against the New York Jets. So feel good about picking on those teams.
Well, we'll obviously track those results and report back to you guys next week. It's been a great show. I appreciate you guys sticking around this long. Hopefully we gave you guys some interesting thoughts or perspectives that's going to help you with your gambling, your NFL gambling this week on Thanksgiving Day week. I want everyone to be safe out there. Have fun with your family and loved ones. Big thanks to BetMGM for providing our official or being our official odds and lines provider. So all of our listeners in Nevada, New Jersey, Indiana, West Virginia, Colorado, and Tennessee, get out there and check out BetMGM Sportsbook if there's a brick and mortar location and or their website. You have anything to say?
No, that's good. Ditto to you. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone and enjoy week 12. Three games Thursday. A couple of them may even be watchable. And then we got some good Sunday matchups. So just stick with it through then and, you know, place a little bit of Friday golf action. Bet the professional golfer.
Right on, everyone. Good luck with your bets this week, and we'll check in with you guys next week. Take care.
You've been listening to the Bet Slippin' Podcast with Jeff Clark and Esten McLaren from USA Today Sportsbook Wire. Listen and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform.